really good. You couldn't hear me. So we put in three brand new beams underneath those overhead so you could go underneath them. And before I attached the actual framing of the house to those beams, I actually cut a major piece. And I will never forget that feeling. I will never forget the feeling that this house that you just bought is sinking into the basement. It had lost its integrity. Now, fortunately, we moved fast enough, and we got jacks underneath it. We got it back up under there, and my house is fine. But integrity is key to anything that you do in life because storms are coming. And when the storm comes, if you do not have integrity, it will break. It will blow it apart. Others of you, you may not have any, you may have never built anything in your life, but you're a computer programmer, and you know that that program has to have integrity. And when they first, you first write the program, everybody says, it's great, but there's somebody somewhere that goes, no, it's not. There's this piece right down here. There's this code right here. And as soon as the storm comes, this thing's going to lock up. Or worse yet, you're going to lose all your data. It doesn't have integrity. For others of you, you work in a corporate situation, and you understand structure. And you understand that, listen, we have to be organized with solid structure without integrity. And everybody else in the company goes, this is great. It's going to be, this is awesome. And you're like, no, it's not. It's just a matter of time before you hit that spot, and then it's going to break. I bet almost all of you have watched a couple get together, and they think they're madly in love, and they think they've found the one, but you know that one of them doesn't have integrity. And you know, it's a matter of time, and the storms are going to come. And disaster is going to happen. Integrity is critical to everything that we do in life. And we're going to talk about that today. We're in our series called What's Next? And this is the last message in the series. And we started in Ephesians 1, and we ask ourselves, what's next for us as a church? And we saw that the Bible says, listen, you need to maintain the unity. You don't have to create unity. You don't have to create oneness. Jesus has already done that. When he gave you brand new life, when you came to Christ, he actually made you and I one. We belong to one another. But how do we experience it? How do we live that out in our day-to-day lives? And how do we experience it as a church? And we found out you got to work at preserving it, maintaining it. And we said as a church, okay, in 2024, we're going to give ourselves to becoming one equipped church. And then Derek came and taught about how life groups is where you get to practice the one another's. It's where the practical place that you get to practice the one another's. Literally in our church, if you want to be taken care of, You need to jump into a life group. Why? Because that's where you build relationships and you get taken care of. That's where that happens, along with lots of one another's. And then last week, I introduced the growth path to you. There's some floating around there. We'll refer to it from time to time. And the foundational piece of the growth path is it helps you to build your life on grace. Well, guess what? Building your life on grace and experiencing unity or oneness, they're the same practice. It's the same, it leads to the same place. And so the first thing we noticed was the beginning. Okay, how do you get onto the path? How do you come to know Christ personally? And then the secondly, first step, being fed by others, that first step of being able to take it in and learn from other people. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the third and the fourth step, feeding yourself and feeding others. Because that's where you really begin to build integrity. It's how God has laid it out for the way that you would build integrity. And so we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. We're going to go back to the beginning. where he says, okay, maintain the unity. And he says, to maintain the unity, I have given you gifts. Now, I really want you to think this through. You want to experience oneness with others. You want to experience Christ. And Christ is experienced not all by yourself. He is experienced through the body of Christ with other people. And he's given you a plan. He's given you a way for this to happen. He's literally given you gifts for this to happen. And those gifts are the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and some of the pastors and the teachers for the equipping of the saints, to build the saints up, to give you the ability to do something, to interact with something. For the works of service, what is that? What are the works of service? Invariably, you're going to think the works of the service are being prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And many, many people go to church for a very, very long time, and they really do think that the ultimate gift or the ultimate being equipped is that you become a pastor. That is not what the passage teaches at all. It teaches you are to be equipped to do these works of service. What are those? Do those just happen in church? For the building up of the body of Christ. Addition and to add to the body of Christ and to strengthen the body of Christ. So here's our first question today. Where does Skyline or the body of Christ, where does it happen? Where does it take place? Does it happen on a Sunday morning like we are right now? You come here, sing a couple of songs, listen to the pastor, grab lunch. Always include lunch. Grab lunch. All right, is that what it is? Is that where Skyline happens? In the passage, he says this, I've given you these gifts to equip you so that these would happen. So that you would attain the unity of the faith, that we would come to be one in what we believe to be true, not just with our heads, but it becomes a conviction. We truly become, we like, no, this is true. The way some of you are convicted about driving, the way you're convicted about food, the way you're, what do you mean? You're like, yeah, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world says. That's the way it is, right? I have a strong conviction about potatoes and gravy are the best food on earth. You have a very strong convictions about rice and beans. Are this right? And you could care. You don't care what I think. You have a conviction about that, right? You come to the unity of the faith. We come to that about Christ. And the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, at first you'd be like, oh yeah, that's all about, it's about knowledge. This word actually means to know, experience. It's a relationship word. It's not a brain word. The knowledge of the Son of God, this relationship that I would have with God. A mature man, like that's your destiny. That's who you would be, become. It means perfected. It means you're complete. It means, wow, you've really grown. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I'm not going to go into all of that, but it's obviously really good, right? It's big. Now, before we ask where does it happen, what is Skyline? What is Skyline? In its most basic definition, Skyline is a group of people learning to build their lives on grace. That's what it is. It's a group of people learning to build their lives on grace. A new identity, which is the same as a unity of faith, coming to know who we are in Christ. It's a new identity. It's a new relationship. The new identity is by grace. The new relationship, it's a new relationship with Christ. It's not like anything we've experienced before. That's what Skyline is. It's a new destiny. In the old life, destiny was all about how much I could grab a hold of. It was all about my life and how I could make my life great. In the new life, it's that I become mature, which literally means, no, it's all about how I can serve other people, how I can make a difference in other people's lives. And a new character, the fruit of the Spirit. Like, I have character to where I can walk into really hard situations and make wise decisions and loving things. All right? So that's what Skyline is. That's what Skyline is. Now, where does it take place? Where does Skyline happen? At home. First and foremost, Skyline happens at home. Now, as I talk about this piece, I want to try to be super clear before I go through my notes. Sometimes my notes mess me up. All right? I want to be really, really clear about this. It is true that some of Skyline happens on Sunday morning here at church. It does. Some of it does. But this is what makes Skyline Skyline. We do not measure our success on the number of people that come to our services. We do not measure our success on any of our buildings or our campus, how great it looks and all of that. We don't measure our success on that. We don't measure our success on how great our services are. We don't measure our success by going, oh my goodness, that worship was just off the charts. The singers were perfect. They were amazing. Pastor Chris, you said the right word at just the right time. You kicked at just the right time. We don't measure our success on the fact that the people walked out of our service going, oh, this is the greatest place on earth. We measure our success based on what happens at home. It has everything to do with what happens in your house with your wife. Success is when a husband has been totally focused on himself and his career, and he's irritated with his wife and how she gets upset about these little things like, I think our daughter's not doing so well. I think we need to spend more time with her. And he's like, that's a problem. But not, you don't understand the big problems I'm facing at work and what I'm going on at work. Or maybe she's like, hey, the oven's not working so good, and so I'm not able to do this. And he comes to realize, wait a minute. The things that I think are a 10, the things that I am so convinced have to change and I'm worried about, those things she's worried about is because she's trying to take care of our family. And those are a 10 to her. So instead of dismissing my wife, I'm going to elevate my wife. I'm going to listen to my wife. And I'm going to interact with her as if her 10s were my 10s. When that happens, Christ has taken the new identity and he's worked it out in your life. It happens in your workplace. When you walk into your workplace on a consistent basis with real joy, because you know your identity and you know your worth comes from Christ. And so you can walk in and have a bad day, and you don't become a bad person. You don't become grouchy and mean. Matter of fact, at the office, they're trying to figure out how to make you have a bad day. Because you just seem to have a joy that no one else has. That's where Skyline happens. Skyline happens in your neighborhood, with your friends, with your life group. And I could go on and on and on about the stories about how Christ has changed you, given you an new identity, a new destiny, a new character. That's what it's all about. So that's where that's who Skyline is. That's where it's happening. Next question is, do you have an enemy? Do you have an enemy? I'm not talking about the person you're married to. Do you have an enemy? Now, I think, my personal opinion is, I think for most of you, when I watch you live, I don't think you do. I don't think you understand. You don't recognize it. But you do. And he says, listen, I gave you this gift so that you could become this and not have this happen to you. That's your enemy. He says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Storms are coming, and the enemy wants to use those storms to cause you to be alone with your own thoughts and your own misery. Sickness and tragedy. But you know what else the storms are? Some of you, it's bored. You're bored. You get bored. And you make the worst decisions. For some of you, it's success. For some of you, it's sports. It's things that come along, and the whole goal is just to grab you and get you to believe lies. To believe that, listen, there's something more important than the new identity. There's something more important than the new character. There's something else to give my life to beside this peace. Which leads to or a part of a hardness of heart. Now, hardness of heart does not mean you've become totally evil. Actually, what hardness of heart usually leads to is mediocrity. That's what it leads to, just mediocrity. You're just going to get by. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, and they have themselves given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. The Bible says that when we come to believe the lie that what life is all about is gaining more pleasure, I want my life to be pleasurable. I want to experience what they've experiencing, or possessions. I need to have what they have. Or popularity. I need to be somebody in the eyes of other people. That it creates a hardness of heart, and lies just flow into your life. That's your enemy. Now, what protects me from the enemy? Integrity. Integrity. Integrity is something that has strength all the way through, and it doesn't have these weak pockets in there that when the storm comes, it just breaks. It can't hold up to it. It's integrity. But here's the big question. Well, actually, here's a passage in terms of how do you build integrity into your life? The Bible actually gives you a plan. It actually has a plan. Now, as I present this plan, you need to be honest with yourself. You need to be clear with yourself. Don't know if I believe God's plan. Well, maybe God has another plan. I want to challenge you. From my perspective, God does not have another plan. He just has this plan. I want to challenge you. This other plan you think God has, how's it working for you? If you're using some other plan, I don't know what it is, how's that working for you? His plan is this. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him, even Christ. Even Christ. How are we to grow up? How are we to develop character? How do we develop integrity? We're honest with each other. I have a relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ where they can speak the truth into my life, and I'm going to speak the truth into their life. Now, that's not what actually, it happens a little bit on Sunday mornings. I speak the truth into your life. I've never heard you speak the truth into my life ever. Right? Not only that, now a number of you do because you've been around me enough to know, hey, the stuff he talks about on Sunday morning, he does that same thing, right? But for a lot of you, you don't know. I'm just some guy up here talking. This happens in our church. It happens in small groups, in life groups, and it happens in ministries. When you get started, you get jump into a ministry with people, and you end up having these conversations and challenging each other and going through tough stuff together, and you speak the love, you speak the truth into each other's lives. It's God's plan. It's God's plan for you to build integrity. Most of us would rather go with I'll just sit in the pew and listen, and then I can go do whatever I want to with it, right? If I like it, I'll take it. If I don't, I won't. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to enter into a relationship with other people where the truth is spoken back and forth. Then at the end of the passage, he goes on and says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. In other words, you don't just get to experience the new life, you get to do it in love. Like, you get to be a loving group of people that's helping each other be able to grow. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It's God's plan. Now, if you look on your path really quickly, feeding yourselves, that's this step. It's where you learn to read the Bible and interact with the Bible, but you're open enough with other people about what you think the Bible says that they're able to go, that's awesome. That's exactly what that passage means. Great application. Or they're able to go, I'm sorry, that is not what that verse means. And the world, including lots of pastors, including me from time to time, we teach wrong. Like, you need each other to interact with that. But that's not the biggest piece that happens. The biggest piece that happens is I actually teach you right, and then you go do it wrong. What do you mean? You can, as a pastor, one of the funniest things in the world is somebody will come to you and say, my friend who goes to our church told me you said. And you're like, I don't know if I said it, but I don't believe that. That's not true. Well, at the feeding yourself stage, you learn to go, you know what? I'm going to find out what the Bible really says. I'm going to expose that to other people. I'm going to get it tested by other people. So I can come to the place where it's no longer what Pastor Chris says. It's no longer what some other guy said. It's no longer what my life group leader said. It's what God said. And I know it's what God said. And the fourth step is that I'm going to feed others. I'm going to pour my life into building into other people. That's this step. This creates integrity. Now, most of us are like, that's nice. I like that. But we're not motivated to get past mediocrity. Most of us, I could teach this to you to a T. I could teach it perfectly. perfectly. You could get it perfectly. And you'd be like, I like that. And you'll try. Or you'll do it a little bit. But not to the place where you'll actually build integrity. You just stay with mediocrity. How do I know this? It's what I do. Especially when I was a young person. I do it still now. But especially when I was a young person. I basically knew what the Bible had to say. And I was like, I got it. And you know what? I think it's true. And you know what? It's not worth all the work. I'm fine with mediocrity. Who am I hurting? I'm doing the best I can. Which meant, it means when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, like I'm human. What changes that? What would cause you to move from mediocrity to really experience oneness and power in your life? I think it's the decision to take on the call of God's call in your life. It's the decision to take on the responsibility that God actually gives you. What do you mean? Well, the first one actually isn't that responsibility step. The first one's really, really practical. The first one is this. If you are going to build integrity in your life, you're going to be in church every week. You're going to come to church every week. It's not going to be here or there. You're going to come to church every week. This super simple principle. If you're a follower of Christ and you're not in church every week, you're not following Christ. You're like, what do you mean? The most basic fundamental piece of I've given my life to Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, I believe the Bible, is you come to church every week. That's something the Bible's super clear about. And if you're not going to come to church every week, you're not going to build integrity. It's not going to happen. Like, how can you say that? 2,000 years, it's been that way. Now, the next one is decisions of responsibility, things you're responsible for. When a man looks at a woman and accepts God's call in his life, that I will love, protect, and feed that woman. And no other man on the face of the earth can do what I've been called to do. When a woman looks at a man and says, I am God's woman to build, support, and love that man, to make sure that man is built, mediocrity won't do it. It won't do it. When you take that step, when you answer that call, you see, I have to be a better man, a better woman than I am right now. I have got to build integrity in my life. Why? Storms are coming. They are coming. For me to love this person the way that God has called me to love this person, I got to get on a treadmill. I got to go to work. Why? Because I've watched what mediocrity does in relationships, and it falls apart every time. The next one for me, and every one of you can answer that call, even if you're single, the greatest, the most beautiful thing is to watch a single person go, I one day am going to do that. I'm preparing right now. The second one is when a father looks at his child and goes, you know what? That's my son. And God has called me to protect that young man and make sure he knows who Jesus really is. And there's nobody else on the face of the earth that can do that. That's my daughter. when a mom looks at her child and goes, I've been called by God. I am the only person in the universe that can be their mom. And I answer that call. Mediocrity won't do it. I'm just doing the best I can. It doesn't cut it. It will not cut it. Why? Because there's an enemy that is dead set on destroying your kids. He wakes up every morning and he goes to work all day and throughout our world and in your kid's life and in your kid's heart to destroy him. To make sure your kid grows up with a hard heart. But God has a plan. And that plan is to build integrity in your life. I really believe this. Until you accept the call of God in your life, you're going to go the mediocre route. I really believe that when you are going to just try to make your life great, maybe in one area of your life you'll be great, but you'll be all twisted up in all the other areas. For the most part, you're going to end up with mediocrity. But when you answer the call of God in your life, there's something that happens. So, one, God's calling you. Every single one of you. You know it. He's called before. He's called many times. And you've said, yeah. During the song or the worship song, you said, yeah. And you walked out the door and you're like, I think we'll go back to mediocrity. How about today? You go, no. I answer that call. If you're married, look at your spouse and answer the call. If you have children, just close your eyes, look at your child's face, and answer the call. And then walk into unfinished with us. Dare to take the risk of what's next. That you will be God's man for this moment, and you will answer the call. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. That you have not only given us a path to build integrity in our lives, not only given us a way that we can become one and become strong and truly lead and love and care for other people. You've called us. As we sing this song, Lord Jesus, between you and each person here, but from my heart, between you and each man here, Lord, just put your finger on the heart of their heart where it has become hard, where they're accepting mediocrity. Help them see the faces or the lives that you've called them, that you want to impact and you want to care for, and you have specifically called this man to be your hands and feet in those people's lives. That this morning, he would either restate, yes, Jesus, or maybe for the first time in his life, get it. That's it. That's his purpose. That's his calling. In your name we pray.